Oh, well, apparently it's Father's Day. I found out at 6 o'clock this morning. No, I knew all week. You know how kids like they try and hide stuff? I had my son James come with a Father's Day card he made on Friday, and it had like a chocolate sellotape to it. And he said, "Dad, made you a Father's Day card." I said, "I think you're supposed to give that to me on Sunday." He says, "Yeah, but we could eat the chocolate now." Sure, James. Come on, we can go halves. I said, "It's okay, James. You eat the chocolate." "Thanks, Dad." So there you go. So apparently, speaking on Father's Day, somehow I'm qualified to speak to you guys on Father's Day. I don't know why, but I take up the challenge. So I'm just going to get myself ready here. How about you, dads? Are you having a good Father's Day so far? Yeah? Been spoiled for the blessing that you are? Awesome. Well, if we could just bring up the PowerPoint. God's Master Plan, the importance of a father's blessing. You see, as we've been journeying through the book of Ephesians, we're examining the ways to build Christ-like character and maturity through our understanding of who we are in Christ, our relationship with Father God, and with one another, both in the family of God and also in our natural families as well. You see, the whole term, if you haven't caught on, has been focused on the family. And we've done this a number of ways, especially in the Hub. Our focus has been on families, about the Raising series. And we've really made a key point for this whole term that God's focus is on families. Now, you may recall a while ago, I spoke on unity and how as the family of God, we must endeavor to keep unity through forgiveness, humility, and bearing with one another in love. How you been going with that? Good? Oh, it's gone quiet. Yeah, excellent. Yeah, okay, moving on. As you know, Pastor Yvette a while ago shared from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 4, on honoring parents and parents not provoking their children to wrath. She also shared on the importance of speaking blessing over our children. And remember, she gave the example of the two plant pots, and one was dead and one was... Did you actually kill that one of it, or... It died by itself. So there you go. Don't leave Pastor Yvette to look after your plants. She gave us that demo to just show us how as parents can speak blessing or cursings over our children, and they will either flourish or wither. And Pastor Chris, while the women were away on women's camp, did you all enjoy that, women? Yeah, see, still love that camp. Pastor Chris took us aside and spoke to us about husbands loving their wives from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 to 33. A couple of weeks ago, Pastor Trish shared a follow-on from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 3, about honoring parents and how the issues that plague us as adults have their roots in not honoring this principle in our lives. And remember, she shared the story of Absalom and how the incident that happened there and how it brought dishonor and Absalom's pathway from that. And as you know, Pastor Paul shared last week in regards to we are a move of God, and about how we needed to bring some realignment in how we address things. And we address things as the move of God in the heavenlies. See, you all sitting here are a move of God. You are the best that God's got. You can't say he's not, because who's he going to use? Someone else who believes? No. You are God's best. And he wants to use you to shift heaven and earth. And I believe God's timing is perfect. And today, Father's Day, I believe that God wants to use fathers to release heaven's blessings over his people and turn the hearts of fathers to their children, and the hearts of children to their fathers. I also want you to know there's been a bit of a build-up for today as well. This is something that we've been planning for a while, and I especially want to honor Vaynand in this as well. Vaynand, he is a brilliant example. It's both in my life and many other men's life of a man of God who seeks after God's heart, you know. And I really want to honor him because in our discussions together and working with the men, he brought some of this principle today through a teaching of a guy called Greg Hill on the Father's blessing. And as soon as he brought it, I was just like, wow, this is it. This is massive, you know, and such a vital thing. And it's one of those things that if we get hold of the church, you know, it's going to transform lives. It's going to transform communities. It's going to transform nations. Now, you may not think that at the moment, how can this do this? But you know what? I'm tired of, you know, men thinking their purpose in the church is to just either stack chairs or work on a ministry that, you know, or fulfill a heavy lifting function or something like that. There is something that each of you men carry that can release and impart identity and destiny into the next generation. You've got to get hold of this today. So before I release this today, I want us to pray. And you know, sometimes just before we pray, I think you know, we as men believe that what we do shows us who we are. We believe that if we're a man of God, or if we're good in business, or we're good in the you know, with friends and everything like that, that makes us a man or fathers. But you know what? It's walking like Christ. Whoever becomes more like Christ wins. You know, that's the prize. And my daughter showed me this yesterday, where you know, I had to humble myself and apologize to my daughter for the way I acted. And I want that to speak into her life. That whatever man she chooses to spend her life with, that one of the key things that this man can demonstrate is humility. And not be proud. I don't know why I'm going on this topic, but I think someone needs to hear this. That it's humility that we become more like Christ, not in what we do. Okay, let's pray. Father, you are the good, good Father. You are the ultimate Dad. Daddy, we love you. We acknowledge you this morning. And Daddy, as your son, I want to ask that the heavens be open right now, that you would release from heaven's throne impartation. You would release wisdom and revelation. You would send angels right now to take captive every assignment and plan of the enemy to distract, to steal away the seed that wants to be planted today, to steal away from the purposes of God, that men may rise in their purpose and calling as fathers in church. And right now, we commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So, if you may or may not know, but we have an enemy called Satan. Are you guys all aware? He hates you. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy from your lives. He wanders around like a roaring lion seeking whom he can devour. You have a very real enemy. Why? Because you're in the image and likeness of God. And he hates that. He wants to turn you into the image and likeness of himself. Selfish, self-centered, self-seeking, proud, arrogant, boastful. He'd love to do that. And Satan has been blatantly waging a war on fathers through the media. I mean, who remembers this guy? Now, Al Bundy, love and marriage. And I mean, does this give fathers anything to aspire to? No, it sets the bar low, doesn't it? Okay, well, how about this guy? I actually know men who pride themselves on being like this fine specimen of fatherhood. And not only that, but teaching the children that the fathers are idiotic numbskulls. Can you see this attack? And look, the same message remains even if the characters change. So in Simpsons and now Family Guy, and these are common in media, and we don't know because we're not aware. We don't think like this. But also, the media is not done with just dishonoring the role of the father, but it wants to render it impotent. Who's watched that show? Wants to totally destroy the roles of fatherhood and the power of what a father has. I believe that the reason for this is because the true power of blessing that is found through fathers can be destroyed. That's the reason why Satan's onto this, because he knows who you are, fathers. You don't. You might not know who you are, but he does, and he's doing everything he can to make sure that you never, ever come to the knowledge of the truth. As it says in Scripture, my people perish for lack of knowledge. Now, I wish I could say that my dad was the perfect role model, the perfect role model of a father and man. He wasn't. He was broken as well, broken by his dad. And this played out through my life at a young age. When I was 6 years old, you know, my mum and dad got divorced. And I remember clear as day where all of a sudden we were sitting on the stairs and watching mum and dad fight and scream at each other downstairs. And then my next memory is him coming into the bedroom with just like a toy and a comic book thing and said, I'll see you around, okay? And that was it. He was gone. And then I remember waiting, you know, by the living room window, waiting for him to come up the driveway on weekends to come and see us. And then mum would get the phone call, I can't make it, and everything like that. And, you know, mum knew that it was doing some damage. But inside, I didn't understand what was going on, you know. And something was changing within me. And of course, mum met someone else, and he was a provider. He was a great guy. I mean, I take my hat off to any man who steps in the gap for where a father is left and looks after the child of another father. My total respect to you all, because that is not that's not an easy job. But the thing is, he wasn't my father. You know, didn't have that connection. He was merely a distant kind of figure to me. And as I grew older and older, I started to grow insecure in my identity and who I was. I remember especially when I started to progress into adolescence, that my identity of who I was constantly being challenged, because when I did something in my behavior, my parents would address the identity of my father. They would say, you're just like your father. I didn't know who my father was. And so maybe you have this story as well. Maybe some of you do have fathers who, you know, weren't there or left or whatever. And all of us have got a story. All of us have got a story. But the thing is that we need to recognize that the impact of what this actually does to us. The role of a father in our lives. Now, about 5 years ago, we embarked on a journey that led us to discover one of the key contributing factors to social dysfunction. And we saw it as fatherlessness. And some of you may remember we had a premiere here called Absent. Have you got the slide up there? Yeah. Do you remember that 5 years ago? We had a big premiere here in the film on Absent. And also as well, what you may or may not know, we worked with a local school and we did what's called a rite of passage, the right journey. And we actually worked with some of the most dysfunctional and behavioral problems, social issues, all these type of things, academic issues. We worked with them and we sowed into their life over a year. We constantly went in, week out, spent time with these guys. And it was a group of about 30, wasn't it? About 30 guys. And the transformation that happened from a father speaking into their lives, a man of God speaking into their lives, was incredible. It totally changed that year around. It was so powerful. We had a ceremony here, and as a community and as men in the church and as fathers, we recognized and acknowledged their transition from adolescence into adulthood. We gave them the keys to their own destiny. And most of those guys now, right, from the rat bags they were, are all getting involved in law enforcement and the army and everything like that. And it's a total change. I think it's like 90% turnaround total. So, as I said, we had a premiere of the film Absent, and I have a section of the documentary to bring to mind the impact of fathers on children, especially in the case of mine when they were absent. So if we could just turn the lights off, and it is for a bit, but I want you to get a full grasp of the impact.
Think about this. Your father is the first person in the outside world that either chooses you or doesn't, and it's the answer to that question that will inevitably shape you and everyone around you for the rest of your life and theirs.
On the surface, if you just take snapshots of Western culture right now, the prognosis is not good.
Well, what my mom has told me, he left when I was one.
I remember the day I lost all respect for my father, and I was 16 years old, and I saw him doing lines of cocaine, and he did it right in front of me.
Say, you know, please, Dad, help me, do something, and he would just shake his head and shrug his shoulders and do nothing.
Well, so many men who were never fathered themselves, for example, they really don't know how to do it energetically. Do you understand?
Yeah, he just left. He didn't even say why. Or the last thing I remember was that him and my mom were having an argument. And then from there on, I don't remember anything.
He molested me. He was always locked up in the penitentiary. He was never around to help my mother.
My father was never there.
I think there's cultural angst, if you will, in the fact that there's this innate understanding that this is not the way it should be.
They shot him when I was in my mom's stomach. They killed him at gunpoint. So I don't have a dad.
In the beginning, I can't remember any moments with him because he wasn't there.
Because he wasn't, like, never there for me, you know what I mean? You know, he never told me about the streets, you know what I mean? He wasn't no father.
I can't think of a man or a woman in the jail that I worked with over 14 years that had a good father. I mean, it's just universal.
The one person, the one man in my life that's supposed to be my number one role model, you know, was a loser.
Now, this won't fix itself. It'll get worse and worse and until we realize what's at the root, right? And the root's fatherlessness.
The U.S. Census Bureau says that 63% of youth suicides are from fatherless homes. One study showed that up to 90% of suicidal teenagers felt that their families either ignored or rejected them. Between 1950 and 2000, the number of unwed teen mothers rose from 10% to just under 80. 71% of all high school dropouts come from a fatherless home. And furthermore, a collection of other probabilities for you. As the lack of father interest increased, so did some other alarming figures. For example, between 1900 and 1960, the number of children in single-parent households rose by less than a point. Over the next 40 years, divorces skyrocketed, climbing over 40%, leaving half of America's children without a father around. Today, in the African-American community, it's an alarming 65% chance that no father lives in the home. Those numbers continue to climb. Incidentally, so do the numbers of teen pregnancies, high school dropout rates, and unwed teen mothers. Between 1960 and 1992, juvenile crime increased sixfold in our country. Teen suicides tripled. Consider this. In a study conducted in 1985, it is said that of the nearly 50% of fathers involved in a divorce, 42% of those men will never see their children again, leaving tens of millions of children with little to absolutely no positive male influence in their lives and alone to find their way through another phase that's relatively new to American culture, adolescence.
People don't want to grow up. You see, that's we have an adolescent culture now.
Viewing history, the term, or at least the philosophy behind adolescence, didn't really exist in the American culture until the early to mid-20th century. Children went to school and then worked at home, on the farm, or in the stores with their parents, earning to help the family. But when the leader of the household began his slow descent into distance, children were left to figure out what being an adult was all about on their own. And what was once a transitional period between the ages of 13 and 17 into adulthood has now turned into a perpetual childhood.
You have this world where people worship youth, right? We worship the young, the good-looking, the healthy, the ripped, right, the hard body, the beautiful, right? We have an adolescent culture. It's like a culture in perpetual high school. We're not inviting, in particular, boys to become men. We're allowing this prolonged Peter Pan period, the syndrome, right, to go on for, oh my goodness, I mean, it starts, you know, 9, 10, 11 years old, and we're allowing it to go into the 30s.
As culture cultivates a more and more seemingly individualistic society, full of constant status updates and tweets, so too seems to grow the gap between what was considered a man 3 or 4 generations ago and what is wandering our streets, our neighborhoods, our workplaces today.
Boys in Wall Street, right, wearing men's suits, making men's decisions, but acting like boys, and then all the way down through culture like that. So economically, it's shaking us. In the family, it's shaking us.
We've got to concentrate on raising up mature middle-aged men so that they can then, in the next generation, create, now some of our men are already doing it, create rites of passage for boys between 13 and 17, which was the classic period for initiation.
Initiation, defined as any important act or event marking the passage from one stage of life into another, the invitation into a club. In this case, being invited from childhood into manhood, an element missing from modern culture. Globally, other cultures understood the importance of that invitation. Some still practice the rites of passage that bring a boy into the realm of men. Today, domestically, and in a majority of other nations, that invitation is never clearly administered. Boys are left wondering where they fit, what their role is, and they find themselves on a perpetual quest for validation.
And you have all these guys walking around that they're clueless. I don't know what it means to be a man. I doubt very much I am a man. And so I'm going to play the man, right? I'm not stepping up. There's a lot of posing of, yeah, I've got a strength. I'm the real deal. Look at me. I'm something. Most of it is charades. It's a fake. It's a mask, right? Because you get inside that guy and he's terrified. You know, he'll play the man, right, down in the hockey arena. But how come he won't talk to his 18-year-old daughter, right? He'll play the man, right, at work. And, I mean, he'll shut guys down, fire people. I mean, he'll, right? He seems like, whoa, a pillar of strength. But how come he's abusive to his wife? Everybody's dealt a hand coming into this world. But what happens for that little boy and that little girl next is what makes the difference. And by next, I mean their dad. The amount of his engagement, the amount of his love, the amount of his attention, physical affection, and I mean appropriate, hugs, right, kisses, I like to be with you, wrestling, right, spending time together, hanging out on the couch, and then showing his children the way. The amount of engagement of a father, it almost makes the hand you're dealt insignificant. That's how powerful it is.
So can you see from that video how impactful that is? I mean, I don't know, but it makes me emotional. Even today, I went and got a cup of coffee from McDonald's. Even today. And I had my badge on. And I said to the girl at the counter, she must have been like 14 or whatever. And I said to her, "Oh, did you get your dad something special for Father's Day?" She says, "I've never met my dad." It's just down the road here. This is not just America. This is here as well. You see, the focus on that video is on fathers who are absent. But I'm telling you now, dads, you can still be present around your children and yet be absent as a father. I know, I've lived it. I have my kids, "Dad, dad, 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 dad." You know, and then mom's like, "Will you answer them?" You know? See, when our focus becomes on career and finances and sport and many other things, and parents especially, these things. I feel like smashing this thing sometimes. Any other things that can hinder fathers spiritually and emotionally from connecting with their children, and even more so critical during the teenage years. You see from that video the tremendous impact fathers have on children and society as a whole. So why are fathers so important? I want to tell you, as a culture, we are no longer acknowledging God's design for impartation and release through fathers. So we are now having these prolonged seasons of adolescence. I know 30-year-old guys who spend their time on video games, living at mum and dad's house. And so it's not they're bad people or anything like that. It's they're wounded. They haven't had that release into adulthood from a father. And so because we're having this prolonged adolescence, adults who are still immature and childish. You know, Pastor Paul shared last week, we're called to be childlike, not childish. And so we believe that, you know, turning a certain age or taking part in an adult activity makes us men or women. But it doesn't. What makes you a man or woman comes from the affirmation of a father to release you in that. And I firmly believe as well, another part of Satan's strategy is to remove a father from his children during the time of adolescence, especially adolescence, because it's critical teenage years. And he does this through divorce. There are many, many people go through divorce at the time when their children hit adolescence. When the time of identity and destiny and validation needs to be inputted into a child so they can make that transition. And so because divorce happens rampantly during these years, men are taken out of the way, fathers are taken out of the way, so the identity, the gender identity cannot be established and the release into adulthood cannot be imparted. Why do you think we're having the current gender identity crisis we're having at the moment? I mean, what is it? My kids were telling me that Danny, is he here? Okay. He was telling me yesterday, I think they're studying in social sciences, they're now, I think, up to 64 gender identities. 51, is it? 51. 51 gender identities. We're having this crisis because it's not the child's role to choose their gender. It's the father's role to affirm the gender, to say, you are a man, you are a woman. You're a man of God, son. You're a woman of God. And we're not doing that. And I find that, that it's actually the father's role to firmly establish who they are. And most of the cry from modern society today is, oh, Matt, this is a new era we live in. You know, don't be so bigoted and closed-minded. You know, you're just living in the Stone Age. Well, how's this new age working for us, eh? How's it working for society? See, also biologically, fathers determine the gender at the time of conception. Did you know that? Ladies, you only carry X chromosomes. You can only bring the female aspect to the equation. But the man carries an X and a Y. And he will, through his seed, determine the gender of the child. And he needs to reaffirm that as well when they transition from adolescence into adulthood. So, two X's and he'll give you a girl. An X and a Y will give you a boy. But not only that, God has purposed fathers to carry a specific role as a parent in raising the children into adulthood. Mums give birth. They nurture, they impart security and trust into the early years. However, it is the father who establishes the gender identity and to release the child into adulthood during the adolescence years, to cut the spiritual umbilical cord that children have with their mothers. Fathers, that's your role. You know, many, as it said in the video, many cultures do actually have a rite of passage or a ceremony for young people to recognize and celebrate their passing from childhood into adulthood. Even in Jewish culture, they have what's called a bar mitzvah. And for women, they have a bat mitzvah. Forgive my pronunciation. According to Jewish law, when a Jewish boy becomes 13 years old, they become morally and ethically accountable for their actions with the same rights as an adult. A boy becomes a bar mitzvah, son of the commandment. A girl becomes a bat mitzvah, daughter of the commandment. And just out of interest, who here has had their father establish their identity and release them into the blessings of adulthood? Could you raise your hand? Wow. How many people in this church? What, about 80, 90, something like that? About three people. This is a problem in the church as well. But saying all that, what can we do? We've heard of all this, we've heard of all the stuff, but what can we do? Well, what can we do as the church? As Pastor Paul shared, you are the move of God on the earth. God wants to establish through you. As the church, we stand at the crossroads looking at culture and the society we're surrounded by, and we can ask for the ancient paths where the good way is. But we must walk in it, and that's where we'll find rest. And as Jeremiah, I don't know if the scripture's up there, but Jeremiah says, this is what the Lord says, stand at the crossroads and look, ask for the ancient paths, ask where the good way is, and walk in it. And you will find rest for your souls. But society seems to say, we're not going to walk in it. So it has to come from us first, church. We have to take the lead in this. So, one of the first steps we must take is to recognize the importance of the Father's blessings. But let's look at a prime example from Scripture to show us, even back then, the importance of the Father's blessing. And we have Isaac's blessing that was imparted to Jacob. May God give you heaven's dew and the earth's richness and abundance of grain and new wine. May nations serve you and peoples bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers and may the sons of your mother bow down to you. May those who curse you be cursed and those who bless you be blessed. That sounds nice, doesn't it? Sounds lovely. But you see, Let's just go the backstory here. I just want to give you a bit of a backstory because this story happened about 4,000 years ago. Isaac was getting old and he was going to die soon. Isaac had twin boys, Jacob and Esau. The special blessing given by Isaac was supposed to be for the older twin, Esau. But Jacob tricked his dad into thinking he was Esau, so Jacob got the blessing, not Esau. Jacob went to great lengths to steal that blessing from his older brother because he valued and knew the importance of that blessing. And later in the passage, if you read it, it's in Genesis 27 or 28, I think it is. Yeah, 27. It says that, you know, when Esau comes to him, you know, he says to him that he can't take back what he said, and it will happen that way. That's the power and the authority that they had. And let's look at Esau's reaction. Esau wept bitterly because he knew what we in Western culture don't, and that is the power of the father's blessing. Look at him. So Esau's come in, and he says, "I'm Esau." And Isaac trembled violently and said, "Who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me? I ate it just before you came and I blessed him, and indeed he will be blessed." When Esau heard his father's word, he burst out with a loud and bitter cry and said to his father, "Bless me too, my father." And that's the cry of many men and women in this church and in this society. "Bless me too, my father." Their blessing has been robbed by the father of lies. And we as the church have got the divine privilege and the mandate to restore the Father's blessing. We are children of the Most High God. He is our Heavenly Father. We can't change the past. We can't change what our dads did or didn't do for us. We can't live in that place. My dad can never make up to me. Neither can your fathers. But we can recognize our Heavenly Fathers and live out of that revelation and impart that Father's blessing. And we can stand in the gap for those men who, through their own brokenness and their lack of identity and knowing who they were created to be, we can stand in the gap for those and release something into the lives of their children, turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers. Do you follow me here? Are you getting this? Because this is important, church. It's extremely important. This is the role of fathers in church, of men of God. You see, the father's blessing establishes identity and imparts destiny within their children. And even when we look at the life of Jesus, we see in the New Testament how the father blessed Jesus at his baptism. And Jesus' identity was affirmed. And shortly after, Jesus' ministry began. We know from Scripture, especially in Proverbs, where it says the power of life and death are in the tongue. And as you heard and saw in Pastor Yvette's message with the plants, our words of blessing can impart life into our children or the opposite. Words of cursing that bring death. See, I also had a grandfather, and I love this man. But he used to speak these things over me. "Yum hyperactive, you are. Yum daft, you are. Oh, you stupid." He would constantly say those words. "You can't sit still, can you, man?" These are curses. And it's not his fault. It really isn't. He was there. He was my only kind of role, you know, biological role model that I had. But he spoke these things into my life. And you see, we too, the same, have the ability to impart blessings or curses. So, words of cursing that can bring death, words that can bring harm, or words that can do harm, or words that can bring healing. And from the lack of hands earlier and personal experience in my own life, and in the lives of other people, I can tell you confidently that many of us have not received the Father's blessing. There are young men and young women who are looking for the affirmation of a father. And when they don't receive it from their dad, I mean, they're developing into women. they don't receive this affirmation from their dad, they will go seeking for it from somewhere else. There will come someone who appears to be a man but still a boy themselves and use them at the cost of them to affirm his identity of being a man. And at the same time, both of them sabotaging their identity through sin. And this is important, dads. We've got to get hold of this. We've got to understand this. Because if you do not impart identity and destiny into your children, I guarantee you someone else will. It'll either be the media, it'll either be a friend, and they're only, I mean, the advice we get from people that is not godly. And it's not because they're bad people, it's because they can only minister out of their own experience and brokenness, not in the truth of Scripture and the identity of who the Father is and who He thinks of them. It's not their fault. Maybe your dad is no longer around church. Maybe he can't be here for you today. Or maybe he would not be someone you actually wish to have in your life. But one thing I do know is that your Heavenly Father wants you to receive a Father's blessing to affirm your identity, to impart destiny, and establish you as being a man or a woman of God. Maybe, deep down, just maybe, you might still feel as a child inside, and you're still looking for a spiritual father to speak these powerful words of blessing in your life. To cut the spiritual umbilical cord from your mums and to release you into your destiny. As I said, this has been a process we've been going through as also in men's group as well. And we have men from men's ministry who have prepared today to stand in the gap for a father that never spoke those words. They are also spiritual fathers that speak the truth of what God says about you into your life. Today is Father's Day. And rather than just to receive nice gifts as fathers, I believe in the church, fathers, men of God, can become a gift that imparts blessing to those of you who may never heard the words of affirmation, identity, and destiny spoken from a father. To turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and to the children's hearts, to the fathers. If I could ask the men who've been working with me through this process, if you want to just come to the front. And what we're going to do, church, is we have men who are prepared in advance to release a prayer of blessing over you. Now, some of you here might not have ever received that blessing. Now, we're only going to do this for the adults because there might be children here who dads are away or working and stuff like that, and we don't want to release them into their adult destiny. We believe that's the right of a father to do, and we want to honor that. But we know there's plenty of the adults here, mums and dads, who we can actually release on behalf and stand in the gap for their father. And obviously we're going to journey through this some more and look at ways that we can actually allow this to be a part of our culture in this church, to really understand the power of a father's blessing. Now, you may think, well, what does some words, that can't change anything that your dad, my dad's done or hasn't done. You're spiritual beings. You live in a spiritual universe. Everything is supernatural. Maybe there's some things in your life that are just not shifting. Maybe the things that you need that can be released through the Father's blessing. And I want you to take a step of faith this morning. And we're gonna play just some worship music. But if you feel led, we want you to come to the front, and we're going to pray over you. If you want your children to be blessed, as I said, we can pray a blessing over your children. but it won't be the full thing of what we're doing of cutting the umbilical cord spiritually and releasing people into their adult destinies. Okay? So any of you ladies or men who want to come up and receive that, we're going to do that now. And please, guys, I'd ask you as well just to be mindful and prayerful of other people coming up. This might be quite impactful for some people. So we want to honor one another through this process. So please, if you wouldn't mind just sitting quietly through the worship, and maybe pray with us for these people. Okay? So if you just want to play this song, Pastor Trish prayed it a couple of weeks ago. It's the song of Good Father. So